Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and keep you. And giving you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your mommy. Go wake up your daddy. Go wake up grandmama and granddaddy. Wake them all up. Let them know that In Your Corner is on there. Go wake them up now. Go wake them up. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area throughout the known world, wherever the internet radio can be found. Now go wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. Get them out the bed, sleepyhead. All right. Oh, I know what I need to go do. Let me just go get my roosters. Let me go get... Come on, roosters. Come on, y'all. Come on out the chicken yard. Come on out the chicken yard. Come on, roosters. Come on out the chicken yard. Come on out. They can't hardly hear you. They can't hardly hear you way back there. Come on out the chicken yard. Are y'all gonna mind this morning? Come out the chicken yard. I can barely hear y'all way back there. I can barely hear y'all way back there. I don't know why y'all won't come on out the chicken yard. Y'all come on out the chicken yard where they can hear y'all this morning. Y'all crowing way back there, but they can barely hear y'all. Y'all need to come on out the chicken yard. Well, let me wake up, y'all. Wake up. My roosters ain't coming out the chicken yard. Matter of fact, they're going on back in. All right, let me just get a song here. Here's a good song here by Shirley Caesar saying he's working it out for you. He's working it out. He's going to work it out. I'm going to get them roosters. They're going to come back out the chicken yard. I got to get them out the chicken yard. Don't worry about it. The Lord is working it out, y'all.
Seems to weigh you down. And you don't know which way to turn. God is concerned and he's working it out for you. The child that's on cocaine, through prayer he can change. That marriage that's on the verge of breaking up, although sometimes you have to walk alone. Now you ask yourself, is there a word from the Lord or from the Lord? You need a blessing. I'm
that's Shirley Caesar, ladies and gentlemen. He's working it out for you. All right, that's your song for the day. That's your song for the day. He's working it out for you. All right, it's time to read the Bible. Time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. Go get your Bible. We'll be reading this morning out of the New Testament. We'll be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 through 7. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of people's hearts. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have begun to reign, and that without us. How I wish that you really had begun to reign, so that we also might reign with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like those condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to human beings. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated, we are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. I am writing this not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you. But I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you prefer? Shall I come to you with a rod of discipline? Or shall I come in love and with a gentle spirit? It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud? Shouldn't you rather have gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who has been doing this? For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus on the one who has been doing this. So when you are assembled, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, Hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the sinful nature, so that his spirit may be saved on the day of our Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with any who claim to be fellow believers, but are sexually immoral or greedy, idolaters or slanderers, drunkards or swindlers. With such persons, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. If any of you has a dispute with another, do you dare to take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the Lord's people? Or do you not know that the Lord's people will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor practicing homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
I have the right to do anything.
You say, but not everything is beneficial.
I have the right to do anything.
But I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never! Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins people commit are outside their bodies, but those who sin sexually sin against their own bodies. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, for the matters you wrote about. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am. But each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and a husband must not divorce his wife. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer, and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Nevertheless, each of you should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you, just as God has called you. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each of you should remain in the situation you were in when God called you. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For those who were slaves when called to faith in the Lord are the Lord's freed people. Similarly, those who were free when called are Christ's slaves. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, all of you, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation in which God called you. Now about virgins. I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who are married should live as if they were not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world, as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit, but a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he's engaged to, and if she is getting beyond the usual age for marrying, and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. they should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God.
All right, that's our scripture reading for today. We read out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 through 7. That was 1 Corinthians chapter 4 through 7. May God bless those who have read and who heard His holy word this morning. All right. All right, y'all. It's prayer time. It's prayer time now, y'all. Come on. Come on, y'all. It's prayer time. Family that prays together is a family that'll stay together. It's prayer time. It's prayer time. Come on, y'all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you once again for giving us another wonderful day. A day we did not earn, a day we did not merit, but it was by your amazing grace that you have given us another day. Lord, you have brought us to the close of another week, and we thank you, dear God. Lord, we just thank you how you was with us all week long, dear God. You protected us, dear God, from any hurt, harm, and danger. Lord, you kept us away from seen and unseen danger, and we just thank you, dear God. Now, Lord, we pray regarding this weekend. Lord, you know that people be moving, they be rushing and back and forth, to and fro throughout our land, dear God. And we just ask for traveling mercies, and we just pray, dear God, that everybody can be on one accord and just work safe and sound, dear God, and move about safely and soundly. Lord, we pray regarding all of the rehearsals that's going to be taking place at the church this weekend, Lord, churches across the land. We pray for the ushers and the choirs as they are preparing, the drama team, dance team, drill team, step teams. Lord, we just pray that you will just lead, guide, and direct and bring all the teams on one accord, that they can be moving like a fine or a well-greased machine, dear God. Then, Lord, we just pray for our Sunday service, dear God. We pray that all of the auxiliary workers can be on their post. We pray that the parking lot crew can be on their post. The greeters can be on their post. The ushers can be on their post. The AV department, audio video, can be on their post. The security can be on their post. The choir, dear God, anoint them to sing songs of Zion, and then give that preacher a word from you, O God, so that the lost can be saved, the saved can be encouraged, and backsliders can come on back to you. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, dear God, for what you're about to do in all our lives. So, Lord, bless your people now with the blessing they stand in need of. And we'll be careful to praise you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. We done sung our song. We done had our scripture. We done had our prayer. Clock on the wall is saying that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so kindly for joining us today on In Your Corner. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So get ready, get ready, get ready now for That early morning sermon, we'll have that on for you. We'll play a couple of commercials, then we'll bring that on right away. And then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back again with Ghostbusters, because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood and somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the Situation Room, where I give you a Christian response to the issues by day. Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book, let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackles, a radio drama. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we're going to take a deeper look in the book, let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, amidst any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we are in your corner.